and we're happy to have the starting quarterback of the New York Giants joining us right now, Jackson Dart. Jackson, it's Craig and Chris here on The Fan in New York City. Good afternoon. How you doing today, pal?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Doing good. Thanks. So, has Coach told you if you're playing at all against the Jets on Friday night? Where are we at with that?
I mean, shoot, I think all of us are just preparing for the chance and opportunity on the field, and that's what we've viewed, you know, this week of just, you know, attacking day in and day out, being bought into the installs and the practices, and being prepared whenever our number's called. You know, we don't have any conclusive yes or no at this time, but, you know, we're all preparing to go out there.
All right, so he hasn't said if you are playing or not. I know he told the morning guys, Coach did this morning, that he's waffling on whether or not you should play or shouldn't play. I assume you want to play Friday because you've only had 14 snaps, you know, this preseason, which means 14 snaps since the end of last season. Would you like to get more reps under your belt before you have to play the Cowboys on that Sunday night?
I don't have any more fun than playing on the football field, so I love to be out there. Whenever my number's called, I'm ready to go. And, you know, I approach it, you know, practices like I do games, you know, from just an intensity standpoint. Thought our team has done a great job. That was preseason of just growing with one another. So, like I said, man, like, I love football. And whenever my number's called to be out there on the field, I'm going out there without any hesitation.
How much different has this training camp been for you, both from the standpoint of you were not the starting quarterback last summer, Russell Wilson was. You are the starting quarterback, obviously, now, and you had a different head coach. Has it been drastically different for you as it was to your experience last summer?
I would say last summer was more of a drastic difference from what I've had in the past. I mean, I've started since, you know, I was a freshman in high school to a freshman in college. So I think that those adjustments maybe happened more of last year. I think that, you know, obviously when you come in as a rookie at the professional level, from a leadership standpoint, you know, you got to earn your stripes and earn your credibility throughout the team, in the locker room and with the staff as well. So, you know, I was happy to have a lot of opportunities last year and experiences that I think is very beneficial to me at this point. And it's like, I feel more, you know, I feel more comfortable in this role right now of just, you know, being the guy out there, you know, feeling like I'm in command and really trying to do my best to make others around me and grow with my teammates to, you know, put us in the best situation to be successful.
Well, you know, you learn valuable lessons when you're in a locker room of 52 other grown men, all type A personalities who don't suffer any fools at all. It was interesting to me, you know, most quarterbacks, you just assume, oh, they're going to be the captain, right? Because, oh, they're the quarterback. They're the most important guy on the field. But it was interesting to me that you've earned that respect of your teammates where they appointed you to this leadership council that that Coach Harbaugh has brought to the New York Giants. How did you find out that you were one of the five or six guys that was appointed to that council?
Yeah, we had a team meeting. You know, all the guys put in votes, obviously, and then it goes upstairs, and then you know, they kind of just tallied off that way. And
did you vote for yourself or no?
I mean, I honestly put way more people on the list than there was, you know, even slotted for. I think that, you know, a strength about this team is that we have so many guys who have a ton of experience. We have a lot more veteran presence in this locker room this year than we did last year. And, you know, there's so many things to be excited about, you know, from just like a cultural standpoint. So when I got the sheet, honestly, I added several names to each line to put guys who I thought were, you know, more than just deserving of that role.
Well, since we're talking about the leadership, obviously at the tail end of the offseason, you have the situation with you and Abdul Carter and dealing with all that. Is that kind of a situation, now that you look back on it, an opportunity where you were able to grow as a leader and as a teammate, and it's kind of brought the team closer together? Is it something you no longer regret? Like, how do you feel about that situation now as the season is about to begin?
Yeah, I mean, as a team, I think that I know that we've all moved past it. I know that, you know, from a relationship standpoint with me and Abdul, I mean, Abdul's my brother. You know, we talk all of the time. We sit by each other in every single meeting. We warm up next to each other before practices and in games. And, you know, we're just constantly interacting with each other. And I think that when you have a group of guys who are so open and honest with each other. Like, it's been really cool to see all of us grow with one another. And I think that that's been really special to see, of just the relationships that we've built, the brotherhood that we've built. And, you know, I'm really proud of this team. I'm proud of the guys, of, you know, the way that we've bought into the culture that Coach Harbs has brought in here to each other. And we really push each other. I mean, people say it all the time about, you know, just the competition and guys battling, and you see it, like, offense and defense, like, you know, brothers, you know, we'll kind of go back and forth, but at the same time, you know, it's grown us closer as a team. And now we're so focused on the season and what's upcoming, and, you know, the dreams and the aspirations that we all have. And I think that, you know, it's pretty simple. Like, we're just starving here to succeed and to win and to play at the highest level with each other and continue to grow our relationships.
Talking to Jackson Dart a few more moments. He's starting quarterback, of course, of the New York Giants. They have the Jets on Friday, then a week or so off, and then it starts for real. Sunday night against the Cowboys, then Monday night against the L.A. Rams. Talk to us a little bit about the depth of your wide receiving room. Obviously, Malik Nabers may or may not be ready for week one, but he's ahead of schedule, so we're going to see him for sure by week two. It seems like they brought a lot of guys in, hoping that one or two guys stuck. Give me a sense of your relationship right now with Darius and Darnell Mooney. Of course, OBJ's there as well. And then let's get around to a guy that I think is going to be your favorite target, and you saw it in the brief experience you had this summer already. Isaiah Likely is a difference maker, I think, at tight end. So give Giant fans an idea of what you think about your wide receiving room and how important Likely is going to be for you guys.
Now, I think every single one of those guys are extremely important for our team and our team's success. I've been really proud to see, you know, the growth that we've had in the wide receiver room. You know, we battled injuries last year, and we've kind of had a turnover of guys coming in and new faces. And you know, what's been really special is that this has really started, you know, in the spring, of guys, you know, getting together. We had a big group of us that got together in California. We've had, you know, multiple trips with each other in the off season, just getting as much work in as we can. And I think that what I've really loved is just the buy-in, you know, the communication, the open communication between each other, because there really is a lot of experience in that room, and guys, you know, running concepts a certain type of way, or having experience doing this, doing that, and us just being able to communicate to try to make it, you know, the best that we can, you know, that it can ultimately be. So it's been a very competitive room, you know, day in and day out. Those guys are competing with each other, but at the same time, you know, we're growing. So I've been proud of those guys and the skill sets that they bring to our team, because I think it's going to make us as an offense more versatile, because we have guys that are different. Their skill sets are different across the board of what they really excel at, which makes me excited, because, you know, we can put guys in certain situations, you know, to really succeed and help our offense. And, you know, I'm definitely proud about that. And then, you know, with Zay, you know, it's a great feeling to have when you see him out there, because I feel like he's just always open.
Right.
His adjustments in routes, his ability to find open spots and zones, his ability to you know, create separation and man coverage. And I think that the thing that really stands out about him is just his feel and his experience in the game. And he's seen it, you know, the way that he talks and presents himself. You know, he's just a guy that, you know, from a body movement standpoint, from a communication standpoint, you can always trust. And, you know, I think that he's just a great player. And, you know, I'm definitely stoked to be a teammate.
Plaxico Burress told me that he used to drive by Ben Roethlisberger's house and Eli Manning's apartment, hoping to see them on off days just to remind them that he was open. And I'm wondering if any of those guys have tried something similar with you to get into your good graces so you throw them the rock.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we have a lot of communication after practices. Guys, you know, we're all texting with each other, sending each other notes. You know, I don't think Zay's missed a meeting, you know, whether he, you know, just the extended time that we have, extra time just being upstairs and watching with each other. You know, every single day he's consistent in the way that he approaches the game, the way that he, you know, just attacks and really tries to excel from a mental standpoint, and really see it through my lens, which I think has been really cool.
Let me ask you this.
There's a lot of guys putting in a ton of extra time.
I heard a podcast yesterday with Julian Edelman, and I think it was him and Welker, him and one of the former Patriot teammates. It was really interesting, Jackson. I wonder if you've had anyone talk to you about this. because obviously when people talk about you, it's always about all the blue tent and you know, keep him out of the blue tent and this and that. And I know you're frustrated by it. You've said as much. I was this podcast, maybe it was Wes Welker, June Edelman, those guys, they said that if one of their teammates ever went down hard, and there's a question, may have been head made contact with the ground, that they had an agreement that a teammate would run over to him and remind the guy, grab your ankle, grab your knee. Don't grab your head. Don't look like you had a head injury. Mm-hmm. And do your best to pop up as quickly as possible so that the independent neurologist or doctor that the NFL hires doesn't think there's the potential for a concussion. Have you guys had conversations like that where you're going to get sacked this year? It's part of the game. You're going to get tackled in the field of play, where you've been instructed to, hey, if you can, pop back up, pop back up. And if you can't, grab a different body part so that no one thinks you might have hurt your head.
Well, I don't think I would tell you that. I mean, those guys have retired and I'm still playing, but you know, it's definitely important for all of us to stay healthy as a team. It's my responsibility to be out there 100%, you know, one play to the next for my teammates and to, you know, put ourselves in the best opportunity and chance to win games. And, I completely understand that, and I understand my responsibility to do that.
Do you feel like you're fighting a little bit of a narrative on it? Because as soon as you came into the league, it was almost immediate with the way you play the game is unsustainable, kind of talk like that. And now you got a new coaching staff, already game one of the preseason, you're in the blue tent, and you've shown your frustration, as Craig said. I'm curious if you feel like not only do you have to stay healthy, obviously, but that there's a narrative around you that maybe other players don't have as far as how you play the game and dealing with that and trying to play your game as well as dealing with the idea that you have to stay healthy and that it's a conversation constantly around you.
Yeah, I think that I probably thought of that a little bit initially when I, you know, my rookie year. But at this point, like, you know, I'm going to make adjustments. You know, I understand, like I said, like I understand the importance of me being out there 100% from one snap to the next. You got to play football at the same time. And, you know, there's times where I'm going to get tackled, whether it's in the pocket or outside the pocket. But, you know, I'm going to always be good and ready to go for the next play. So I'm just going to control what I can control and do my job to be out there for my boys and you know, try to do our best to put our team in the best chance to win.
Final couple things before we let you go. Talking to Jackson Dart, starting quarterback, of course, of the New York Giants. I know you said the biggest difference for you was going from always being a starter to having to, you know, be a backup last year as your rookie season with the New York Giants. But there's been a lot of talk about the physicality of a John Harbaugh training camp versus what you had in your first season with Brian Daboll. Can you speak to that and how different the type of training camp was, albeit, you know, in West Virginia for the majority of it, so fans have an understanding that when you guys talk about, man, it's a whole different camp, what do you guys mean by that?
Well, I think that every coach kind of has their own philosophy of how they're going to handle practices from a, you know, pad standpoint, from a physicality standpoint. And, you know, there's not necessarily a complete 100% right or 100% wrong. It's just the way that, you know, the coaches have their own philosophy, which I think is great. You know, one thing that I can say about our camp is it has been extremely physical. And I think that, you know, for Coach Harbaugh coming in here, you know, he wants to build a bully, and he says that day in and day out. And, you know, guys are really bought in here. Like I said earlier, like we're starving to win, and there's a lot of really, really good players here who, you know, for some reason, you know, the ball hasn't rolled, you know, their way at times to win games and be consistent with that. But that's what makes this group special right now is that, you know, we're chasing perfection. We're chasing, you know, any opportunity, any correction that we can possibly get to be our best and to put the best product on display. And, you know, that stems a lot from Coach Harbs and the respect that we have for him. You know, the way that we practice, the way that we go into meetings, the mentality that we have, you know, it all stems from the guy up top and his leadership. So I think that he's done an amazing job of you know, really, you know, being open and vulnerable to us as players. And then us, at, you know, at the same time, like building those connections and relationships to, you know, to forward it back to him. And I think that, you know, for us to do that, we got to buy into that mindset and that mentality for us to be our best. So it's been intense. It's been physical. you know, luckily for me, I'm not the one getting hit out there every day. But
red jersey, right?
Exactly. To hear the crack of pads and to see the physicality, and I do think that it's going to pay dividends throughout the season.
So a real good friend of mine says, you're going to love this story. I get on a private jet, Al Patagonia's jets, Apollo jets. He's a great guy. And we go down to San Antonio to watch the Knicks against the San Antonio Spurs. And Jackson Dart's on my flight. And I said, what was it like? You know, he goes, well, we're all partying, but Jackson didn't have a drink. Matter of fact, he had his iPad out there. He was looking at game film. And I go, Nick game film? He goes, no, Giants game film. I go, that's too good to be true. That the starting quarterback of the Giants, who's allowed to do whatever he wants, is on a private jet going to watch my beloved Knicks, and he's going over Giants game film. Is that a true story or not?
No, absolutely it is. I mean, I'm like, people would say I'm kind of a football hobbit in a way. But it was such a cool experience to go witness greatness, be around a championship team, see the vibe and feel of the state of New York, the state of New Jersey, and everybody really coming together. I think that's just, you know, it was so special to see, and the energy and the momentum. You know, it's extra motivating to get up every single day, because, you know, you look out across the river and you see the Empire State Building lit up in the Knicks colors.
Yep.
And, you know, what a cool opportunity and what an amazing accomplishment, you know, for that team. And I think that, you know, when you have conversations with some of those guys, because it wasn't like they had, you know, the biggest names going into the playoffs as guys, but, you know, just the culture and the brotherhood that they created, that, you know, never in doubt, you know, didn't matter what was in front of them, what adverse situations that they were facing, like they came out.
Well, not just that, Jackson, you got to see, and I'm sure Eli's told you about this. I know you guys are close. He got you into Fort Charles after all. But you got to see.
I don't know if he said that. I don't think that's completely true.
That's what he told me. He told me he got you the res in any event. You got, it's interesting because as a pro athlete who's not a New Yorker, you got to see firsthand watching the Knicks and getting to go to a bunch of the Knicks playoff games, what it's like in this area when a team wins. It's different than any other place in the world, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And you got to see that mm-hmm. firsthand. So I imagine there's a lot of daydreaming. You know, I want to be where Jalen Brunson was. I want to be where OG was, because you got to see it firsthand. So that's got to be pretty motivating as well.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the city of greatness. And, you know, for people to have their names go down in history here, that comes with it, being great and winning championships. So, you know, that's what I'm chasing for sure.
Yeah, and on that vein, I just wanted to ask you, because last year I thought after the Eagles victory, you and Cam in particular were told, you know, oh, the Giants haven't beat the Eagles like this in a long time. And both of you kind of had the same answer of, we weren't around for this. We don't know that the Giants lose these games. Like, this is a new dawning. This is a new era of Giant football. Is that something that you mentioned a little bit earlier, is that something you're aware of, trying to get out from under the losing of the last decade of this franchise, get out from all of that? Maybe the coaching change has made that a little bit easier, but is that something on your mind, like, that there's been too much losing around here and there's like an actual tangible thing that you have to overcome that, or is it just go out there and play your best?
To be honest, I think that is a complete, you know, distraction from, you know, what we want to be about or accomplish day in and day out. We got a lot of new faces here. We got a fresh team. And to be honest, like, the things in the past have zero weight on what's going to happen this season, what's going to happen from one game to the next. So, you know, I don't really care. I don't really care what's happened. It's about, you know, us moving forward as a team and trying to be the best. And, you know, that's what we're chasing.
Well, we appreciate your time this afternoon. We'll find out, I guess, the next 24 hours if you're going to play on Friday against the Jets. And then the best of luck to you when it starts for real against the Cowboys. Obviously, tough schedule out of the gate. Cowboys Sunday night, Rams Monday night. But we very much appreciate your time this afternoon. I look forward to watching you play football this year for the Giants. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Can't wait. Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you. You got Jackson. It. Jackson Dart, starting quarterback of the Giants. We'll get your thoughts on that. We'll talk about ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
After you read something very important.
Yeah, him and Patrick Ricard. That's the Giants player call-in sponsored by Windorama's First Down Deals. 30% off your installation project, plus low to no financing. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by Romeo's Fuel. Keeping you warm for less. Visit romeosfuel.com today.
You're the Giant fan. I'm not. Yeah. Obviously, just did a half hour with the... with the starting quarterback of the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing earth-shattering, obviously.
No, he's confident.
He's got all the cliches down, for sure. He knows not to get himself in trouble with his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you that. But look, you know, the reality is still the reality. You know, the New York Giants come out of the gate with two playoff teams they're going up against, essentially. I think the Cowboys are going to be a very good team this year.
Right.
And their defense is going to be very good as well. So you're going to have a very early test of a young quarterback in a new system against what I think is going to be a top 10 defense.
No doubt. It's going to be a tough start to the year. And he feels confident. I wonder how much, I think he would have said he's ready. But I wonder how much he feels he needs these snaps on Friday. Like, it's one, of course he wants to play, but is he comfortable inside this new offense already?
You're a fan. Are you comfortable 14 snaps in the preseason? That's all he's had.
No, I know. Am I?
You want more, don't you?
I want more. Yeah, I want more for him.
I would play him a half.
Because I know how important it is to get off to a good start with this team. And you mentioned the tough start. The first two games of this year are not going to be easy. So. I am, but I'm also, you know, he does tend to take hits. Like, it's a fine line.
You're not going to avoid that anyway.
No, I know.
Right?
You'd rather not have it happen in a game that doesn't mean anything.
I think he's got to play, and I'm being consistent. I think Geno does too.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to the Jets later, so we're not talking Jets right now.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, he's not a 10-year veteran. It's a new system, and obviously they're all learning it on the fly outside of Ricard and Likely.
Right.
You know, came with Harbaugh in that system. And yes, you have to protect people to a point. The game doesn't matter, but you know, we're talking about a guy that has played all of 14 games in his NFL career.
And it's a new offense.
With a new offense,
yeah.
You've got, you know, a huge new addition to the offensive line, obviously, right? I think that if I'm the Giants, Jackson Dart and my ones are playing the first half, whatever that means. If it's four possessions, six possessions, whatever it is, and I can be run heavy. I'm not saying I'm going to send him back there, you know, 30 times.
Right.
But I gotta get that offense out there. Because remember, this Friday is August 31st. All right? It's essentially 2 weeks,
yeah.
Right, until the Giants play again. Because Labor Day's late.
No.
Right?
Yeah. No,
so,
it's going to be a long time without playing.
Yeah.
And it's a new offense, and it's important for him to build. This is a brand, practically, you know, Neighbors is brand new to him. Likely is brand new to him. He lost.
Malachi's new to him.
He lost, what's his name, to Tennessee?
Wondell Robinson,
who was probably his biggest target all of last year. He's got Slayton there. That's about it. Other than that, like, it's a brand new wide receiving core, brand new biggest weapon in the tight end. Neighbors, his best player, is essentially brand new to him. They didn't play all but a half together against the Chargers last year. He's got a new run game coordinator. He's got new everything. I absolutely think he needs to be out there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're waffling on it.
Yeah,
quite honestly.
I just don't think they're announcing it. Here's the stupidest thing about that to me. If you want to waffle on who's playing in a regular season game because you think it gives you some type of competitive advantage, I get that. Every team has done it. I have no issue with that at all. There's zero benefit. Zero.
I think.
To both teams to not say, hey, look, I can't tell you how long they're going to play.
Right.
But they're playing.
I mean, there's only a couple things. One is the status of some of his offensive linemen in question.
Okay.
Like, that's the only thing.
So
like,
if you have two backups, okay.
Because if I'm playing Jackson Dart, I'm playing my starting offensive line. Plain and simple. So maybe there's...
By the way, I'm playing all of my starters.
100%.
Because this offense
100%.
Needs to play together.
Well, I mean, that's the question, right? I'm trying to just think of reasons why they would be waffling outside of the fear of injury. Is there something where Andrew Thomas has played enough, they feel comfortable with Andrew Thomas, he's maybe dealing with something sore, and they don't want to play Andrew Thomas, so they're like, well, if we're not going to play Andrew Thomas, I don't want to play Jackson Dart. Like, is there something along those lines? That's the only thing I could think of as far as why they wouldn't be more out in the open about playing Jackson Dart because some other starters are in question and they don't want to risk it unless they're fully protected their quarterback. Because we've already seen him take a massive hit.
I think they got to play. I do.
I
think they got. I know Harbaugh said this morning
it would be counterintuitive to have the kind of camp they had all year and then not get the guy reps. Like, you've had a physical camp. He mentioned it. Ricard just told us he's been with Coach Harbaugh for a decade, and he just said this is the toughest camp he's ever run.
Right, five of the first six days in pads.
They're running the toughest camp they've ever run. They're in pads more than any other team in the league, practically, it sounds like. Like, why would you go to those levels and then pull back on preseason games?
Like, I agree.
It just seems like if you're going to run a physical camp and put guys at risk and have everybody in pads, then go out there and play actual snaps.
They also put him back in the first game after, is that me?
That's you.
They put him back in the first preseason game
right,
after he got hurt.
Yeah.
Didn't play him at all last week. I think he's got to play.
I do.
I think
he will
this
play.
Giants, it's not like the Giants offense is bringing everybody back. They've been together for 6 years, and it's the same head coach, the same offensive coordinator. Everything is new,
mm-hmm.
and he's not a veteran.
Right.
Like, to me, Jackson Dart, who's obviously shown glimpses of having everything you want in a franchise quarterback, has not proven yet to be a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, he's a great kid. His answers were on the money. He seems like a great teammate. All that stuff, he checks every box. But the one box you can't check without doing it is doing it.
Right.
And this Giants offense, there's no laurels to rest on.
No.
My opinion.
I mean, look, I think he should play. If he doesn't play, it's not like I think they're doing it.
And I play him for a half, too.
Yeah,
I play him for an entire half.
I would get him a couple series for sure.
You got 2 weeks to then get ready for the opener against the Dallas Cowboys.
I think they're going to play him. I'd be stunned if they don't.
I happen to agree with
I'd
you.
Be stunned if they don't play him.
Because think about this.
They might not play him a whole half, but I think
maybe
they'll
not.
Play him. Yeah.
The 14 snaps that he took in week one was week one.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about it would be a month. I know they practice. And you know, again, they're not tackling much of practice now, getting ready for the start of the season, right? That would mean if he doesn't play Friday against the Jets, that he essentially will go over a month, essentially,
mm-hmm.
without playing a real snap of football.
Yeah.
To start off against a top 10 defense and a division rival in the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think that makes any sense at all. I don't.
Well, I mean, you're quick to make them a top 10 defense.
I think they're going to be, but they're going to be a very good defense.
You think so?
I do.
Okay.
I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be a very tough out and a very good defense. I really do. I think the Cowboys are... a lock to make the playoffs this year. Obviously, mm-hmm. injuries aside, who knows? And I think the Cowboys have a chance to win the division this year. I think they're going to give the Eagles all they want.
I'm more concerned about their passing attack than I am their defense just yet. They have an opportunity. I mean, last year they were terrible defensively.
Yep.
Like, I know they've made some additions, obviously, and drafted, you know, a couple of good defensive players. They should be improved, but I'm more worried about them throwing the ball down the field on the Giants than I am necessarily.
Well,
shutting
right.
down the
offense. Because if you don't get to the quarterback, your secondary is not very good.
Exactly right. But more of the point is just, I want Jackson Dart to be comfortable week one. I don't want to go out there and have it look. The last thing you want to see, because I know he answered, hey, I don't care about what happened prior. And I get that. I truly do. That's probably how he's got to handle it. That's not how I see it. I see a team that hasn't gotten off to good starts. I see a franchise that's been a loser. And we're desperate for something new here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want the first half of the first game to look like a quarterback who doesn't know the offense.
Which is why you want him to play against the Jets.
Doesn't have any camaraderie with his wide receivers. And balls are sailing overheads. And like, it looks ugly. Because... it's again, can it change from that point? Of course. But they've been working so hard at camp. They went away to West Virginia. They're together. They're full pads. This whole bit. The thing with Abdul Carter. The team's closer than ever. They go out there. They don't have a wide receiving core to speak of. And all of a sudden, there's no offense the first half against a divisional opponent.
You guys are going
to
be cursing them up and down.
It's going to be bad.
Yep.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be a bad Monday in New York if it goes that way.
But now, having said that, do I think the cure to that is somehow playing the first half against the Jets? No. Could they go out there and play the first half against the Jets and still look like
yes.
that against the Cowboys?
Yeah. Yes.
So
he just needs more reps.
As many reps as possible.
I agree.
And getting together with Likely and getting together with Neighbors, to me, are the two biggest components for him.
And by the way...
and I don't think Neighbors is going to play all that much.
I don't think you see Neighbors on Friday.
Yeah, I don't think you
I think
see
there's
Neighbors
a chance
Friday, yeah.
you see him against the Cowboys.
Did they already announce no Neighbors on Friday?
I didn't hear that.
I thought he might have.
The only thing I heard him say was that there's a chance he's ready for week one against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the guys asked him if he was going to play on Friday. And maybe I'm making more out of Friday than anybody else on the planet. I accept that. But man... the reality is that there's a more likely chance you start off 0-2. I don't care how good you play.
Yeah.
You're going up against two badass. I think the Cowboys are going to be very good this year.
We'll
I
see.
Really do. And they got Caleb Downs. You know, that secondary now.
No, absolutely.
He's going to be a problem.
They were bad last year, but they made some improvements.
Yeah.
Neighbors left practice today with a trainer. Ryan Dunleavy is reporting. Prior to that, he looked really good. But I don't know if that just means he walked over the trainer. It doesn't sound like it's carted off or there was a particular injury.
If he plays week one, it's a gift.
Yeah, 100%.
I think week two is your more likely premiere of Malik Nabers. But look, if he plays week one, it's awesome. He hasn't played yet, obviously, coming back from the brutal injury he suffered. If you get Malik Nabers on the field week
one. But
that's
the dynamic you're looking for. That's what you're looking for likely. You're looking for Nabers. That's the dynamic in the passing game you're looking for. Because the rest of it,
no.
I mean, no one's going to jump up and be like, that number two wide receiver, that wide receiving corps for the Giants is, it's going to be bad.
Darnell Mooney is a starting wide receiver right now in the depth chart for
you. Yeah.
Okay.
He's not terrible.
Darius Slayton's your number two.
No, Darius Slayton.
He might be your number one.
Yeah.
And I know Darius Slayton, his numbers are actually decent.
Yeah.
You guys hate Darius Slayton.
Well, he drops big passes in big moments.
He does get open, but he drops the ball.
He drops the ball.
You guys can't stand
He's
Darius
led
Slayton.
The Giants in receiving yards like three of the last 4 years.
He's not a bad player.
He's not a bad player, but he's not good enough to be number two and feel confident about it.
He's certainly not good enough to be your number
right
one.
And right now, it feels like, with the injury, you're looking at Beckham making the team. Braxton Berrios could very well be the starting slot wide receiver.
I think he's banged up right now, Berrios.
Did he?
I was looking at the depth chart this morning. Give me 1 second.
I thought like that was their response to kind of being the slot guy.
I think Braxton Berrios, who's obviously going to be your punt returner, for some reason I thought I saw him here. Braxton Berrios, he's questionable. It could be a nonsensical thing. It just says questionable. It doesn't say, let's see, I got the reporters that Berrios obviously didn't play against the Dolphins. Because he was dealing with a soft tissue issue. So he ain't going to play Friday either. That's a hamstring or something.
I saw Connor Hughes reporting that he believes that he's going to be the next man up in the slot receiver now that Austin went down. But we'll see.
Austin's out for the year.
He's out for the year with Torrey's
ACL.
Yeah, devastating injury.
Yes.
So, and tough for them. They don't have any wide receivers. And he was having a good camp. So that's why Nabers are so important and Likely is so important. Because those are the real two weapons. Everybody else is just a fallen piece that you hope can have nice seasons.
By the way, I don't really play fantasy anymore because of the gambling aspect to it.
Yeah.
But if I was drafting a tight end, Likely might be my first draft pick.
I think he's going to have a big year.
I think you're looking at 80-plus catches,
right?
Double-digit touchdowns, and over 1,000 yards. I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl tight end.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be the security blanket to Jackson Dart.
I don't think there's any
And you
doubt.
Saw it in the week one of the preseason, those two third-down conversions. Both of them went to who?
Yep.
And who was wide open, by the way? That dude gets open.
He gets open. He's been in the shadow of Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
He's shown the ability when he was given the chance, when Andrews was injured, he stepped up every single time. I think he's a legitimately talented tight end. I don't know about the best tight end, but he's going to be a top 3-4 tight end in the league this year.
All right, we just did an hour without a break, so let's take a break. All right, go get a snack maybe. Do what you got to do, and we'll be back in a couple seconds. 888-808-1019. Carton Show with Big Mac. We'll get your take. You just heard the starting fullback and your starting quarterback. How do you feel about Jackson Dart now? And
do you
think Jackson Dart should play against the Jets on Friday?
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Big Mac, this phone is going to fall so hard for the Dunkin' $6 meal deal. Now you can get a medium hot or iced coffee, 6 crispy hash browns, and a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. All for $6. A full breakfast meal for $6. So wherever you're headed, work, school, the gym, or your next adventure, your breakfast or afternoon pick-me-up is covered. Do breakfast the Dunkin' way. Order Dunkin' $6 meal deal. Get your most important meal of the day at Dunkin'. No substitutions. Participation at times may vary. Offer price varies in Hawaii. Limited time offer. Cannot be combined with other offers. Exclusions and other terms apply.
Well, listen, I want to tell you so much about Town Fair Tire that I'm going to continue my thought. We're coming to you live from Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires. They honor all manufacturers' rebates, and they even honor competitors' rebates. With more than 120 stores from Connecticut through New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires, why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices, that's Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. This Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by New Jersey Manufacturing Day in Freehold on October 2nd.